Well, hello there, and welcome to the County Conversation, the podcast featuring employees and subject matter experts in the Fairfax County government, discussing programs, services, and items of interest to residents of Fairfax County. I'm your host, Jim Person, and today on this edition of the Conversation, I'm chatting with Sandy Kenyon, Technical Specialist on the Mission Support Division of the Department of Emergency Management and Security. We're going to chat today about National Preparedness Month and the importance of emergency preparedness, not only in September, which is National Preparedness Month, but all year round. Sandy, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Got to start with the title. Sounds like you should be working for NASA. Did I get it right, the title?
Yes, sir. You did. Okay. I'm kind of a jack of all trades, fill in
okay.
title. So I keep track of all this management of all the Fairfax alerts, alerting software to keep the public informed of information. I also manage our incident management software. So if a disaster does happen, we have software to help track and inform not only us in the Emergency Operations Center, but our county partners as a whole for like Public Works, police, fire, of what's going on and what resources are where, and just help us manage that.
All right.
Along with taking care of all of our IT information. So, like making sure everyone can connect to the printers and their
normal
computers
aren't
crashing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's definitely an important task for sure. And knock on wood, we don't have a tremendous amount of emergencies or those type of things. But I know DEMS, or the Department of Emergency Management, does regular, often training, so I'm sure there's, you know, technical stuff that you're going to be doing when they're involved in all those trainings.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I have a training tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. All right. So you guys do all this training, and you're keeping the technical support stuff behind the scenes working so that when there is an emergency, emergency management folks and other agencies across the county can spring into action and respond to the situation. We're talking about residents now, and specifically about National Preparedness Month. So I guess to start with, somebody listening right now, why should they care that it's National Preparedness Month, as in the month of September as we're talking right now?
So the month of September was chosen back in 2001. I'm sure majority of the listeners will remember or have studied about the incident that took place on September 11th. So the U.S. government wanted to take efforts to encourage citizens to make sure that they were prepared and for a survival level event. Also around that time was Hurricane Katrina as well. So there were many impacts coming from different parts of the country. In 2004, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or better known as FEMA, launched an annual campaign now known as National Preparedness Month to remember the events that happened on September 11th. And to highlight the importance of making sure that we are prepared as a nation. And this year for 2024, the theme is start a conversation. And a lot of times, talking about bad things that could happen, like a disaster or an emergency, isn't always the easiest. Mm-hmm. I know, like with my wife, in the midst of the pandemic, I watched one of those post-apocalyptic movies, and we had to have that frank conversation there.
Right.
Showed her my preparedness bag and told her how to use all the stuff. But we might not like having those conversations. And we might think we're protecting our family by not having them.
Right.
The opposite is actually true. We need to have these conversations so we know what our plan is for when things go sideways.
So a couple of parts of that question, I'll ask both of them so I don't forget them. First of all, how do you start a conversation, and what do you talk about? But you're talking about the theme of start a conversation, so.
So, theme of start a conversation. Sometimes that is just as easy as just watching the news, because the news will give you any sort of thing any given day of the week. We're also in hurricane preparedness season, and even though we are inland and we have a lower chance, we're still in the hurricane preparedness zone, so we can start talking about that as soon as like another storm comes up, or we can just bring up a conversation like, hey, did you know that this is preparedness month? Hey, so I was thinking maybe we need to start a bug out bag or a preparedness bag.
Fill in the blank for topic. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, I was thinking of going ahead and it's like buying like two or three more cans of canned goods, non-perishables, just to make sure that it's like we store those in the back of the cabinet and just slowly start preparing as opposed to going out and buying everything all at once. If you split that up, you can start making sure that you have supplies necessary when needed.
Right.
It might take you a month or two to, or a couple months to get everything ready, but having some is better than having none.
Right. Well, and if, you know, folks are not as financially fluent as a lot of people in Fairfax County are, they don't have to get into it all at once. As you said, you know, buy a few things every time you go to the grocery store, or every time you get a paycheck, so it's not a huge financial burden on being emergency prepared.
Yeah, and I know we're all fresh in our memory is the incidents of 2020, of when we all were trying to wander the aisles of Walmart, Target, wherever your choice of shopping is, and trying to figure out, it's like, do they have toilet paper? Do they have milk? Do they have eggs? So if we just do it slowly and make sure that and be thoughtful about it. Like, one of the things I always forget for my own preparedness is making sure I have enough of antihistamines, because I'm allergic to a bunch of different types of trees and grasses. The fall and the spring is always fun for me, and I need to make sure it's like, oh, if something were to happen during those months, I need to make sure I have my decongestant with me, so I can breathe without opening my mouth.
That's a good point. Talk to me first about basics that everybody should have in their emergency supply kit, or, you know, things at home to go for an emergency. And then talk about those specialized items that you just mentioned, like the antihistamines and the things, you know, for allergies, et cetera. So basics, and then we'll get into maybe special consideration items, if you will.
So we, as an agency, the Department of Emergency Management and Security, we have a great resource already on our county website. That's www.fairfaxcounty.gov /emergency-management/CERG, CERG. And the very last page of that actually has a list of building an emergency management kit. So it goes through like the basics of like how, of what should be in there. So do a list of like water, canned food, can opener. Honestly, is one of the things like a lot of people forget, because if you're like my family, we just stick it on the thing that's attached onto the counter and it spins around and
there,
Walmart, and we're good. But the bad thing is that doesn't work if there's no power.
That's true.
So we have to go dig around in that one junk drawer that everyone has and find that.
Right.
But it'll go through like talking about like a bag to carry it in and some other device. There's some other things like including a trash bag, one of those things that a lot of folks don't think to put in there, because trash bag's good because you can use that for many other things. And then things to consider, like if you have a child, an infant, or a toddler, preschool age kids, school age kids, individuals with special needs, pets, if you have a vehicle, elderly, just it has a whole list of things on there, from like formula to pacifiers to utensils, blankets if it's the winter time, long sleeve shirts if it's the summertime, because we don't, if the sun's out, you might not have your sunscreen, so having a long sleeve shirt keeps you from getting burnt. And I'm sure everybody that's listening has been burnt at one point in time because they just forgot to put it on.
Right.
And that's no fun. And if it's already an emergency situation, that is another annoyance to add on to that.
You don't want to make it worse if you're already having to deal with the emergency. All right. So fairfaxcounty.gov/emergency-management. That's going to take you to the Department of Emergency Management and Security's website. Got a lot of resources there, information about how to make a kit, make a plan, how to stay informed, etc. fairfaxcounty.gov/emergency-management/CERG. CERG, that's the Community Emergency Response Guide that Sandy just mentioned. It's a very helpful document, and at the end, he said it's got the appendices for, you know, putting together a kit, those kind of things. So we are on the County Conversation podcast talking about Emergency Preparedness Month and what you need to do to be emergency prepared. We're talking with Sandy Kenyon of the Department of Emergency Management and Security. So we've been kind of setting the stage about how to be prepared, what to do. Let's focus now on the actual month itself, National Preparedness Month. DEMS, your department, has weekly themes for the month. So give me an overview of the 4 weeks and what they are, and then we'll go specifically into each one.
So each week in September, the National Preparedness Month campaign will focus on different aspects of preparedness for individuals, family, and the community. And so the first week of September, the 1st through the 7th, we're going to be focusing on preparing individuals and families. So that CERG that we just referenced, the Community Emergency Response Guide, has different checklists of preparedness before, response during the incident, recovery for afterwards, and then this is going to be an industry buzzword, mitigation for before and after. So mitigation means like building up the
fixing stuff.
Whatever didn't work will work the next time. And in there, there's also like developing your template for developing your family preparedness plan. Then in the second week of September, the 8th through the 14th, is preparing businesses. So with the Fairfax County businesses, with the Business Disaster Resilience Guide, which outlines the executable solutions that businesses can adopt to assist with efforts to prepare the facility, the operations, their employees, and customers for safety. And also, there's a checklist in there in the CERG for that as well. And then for the third week of September, we are focusing on preparing houses of worships and preparing or plan, prepare, and protect your house of worship with the House of Worship Resilience Guide, which just hit the press earlier this summer, and I've taken a look at it, and it's really slick with some good points for a lot of the houses to worship to consider for not only just their daily operations and their parishioners, but aid in what you do before, during, and after an emergency to prevent loss of date, extra expenses, loss of community members, because the houses of worship are a strong influencer in the community just as much as anything else. And then for the fourth week, we're focusing on preparing individuals with disability and access and functional needs in that fourth week of September, with county-led presentations and essential resources to ensure everyone is safe and they're looked after during these emergencies.
Let's talk about the week one, preparing individuals and families. We kind of touched on a little bit of this in the beginning segment of the show when we talked about emergency kits and what they should have in them. Is that kind of what we're talking about, or is it more encompassing than that, preparing yourself and your family? Is just having an emergency kit enough, or are there other things that individuals and families should do?
Having an emergency kit is a start.
Okay.
So looking back at research, like I found something from 2016 said about 75% of American households reported having supplies, but only 50% of those households had family emergency plans.
Oh, wow.
So while you can have the latest and greatest doodads,
right,
if you're the only one in your family that knows how to, let's just say, knows how to put on a first aid bandage, but you're the one that's injured, now you're relying on another family member to apply that first aid to you. So first aid is a simple one to do, but knowing like where your family's going to meet or a family communication plan, because cell phones may or may not work depending on what the situation is. I don't know if many folks remember the earthquake that hit here a couple years back, but it got hard to make a cell phone call. Right. Pretty much the only thing that people could do was send a text message. So if the cell phones don't work, do you know that, hey, we're going to meet at grandma's house, or we're going to meet
right at the park down the street.
At the park down the street, right. if this is happening.
Yeah.
Or just if you're in school, children, stay in school, stay with your teacher, we will come get you.
Well, that leads to the theme of the whole National Preparedness Month, start a conversation. So any of these things that you come across can spark that conversation to get better prepared all the way around.
Yeah, and I highly recommend that all the listeners, even if they're not county residents,
sure.
Take a look at the CERG that we prepared, because that will help you like spark those conversations, because you might not have think of, oh, if just like at work or when you're in school, you had the fire drill, you know,
like, all right,
we had a muster out here in the parking lot by the big oak tree, away from the building, and we did a head count to make sure everybody made it out. Well, for your family, you just need to look at your loved ones, but you need to make sure that it's like one's not going left and right. Everyone else is going to the right.
Right, yeah. FairfaxCounty.gov/emergency-management/CERG. That's the CERG, Community Emergency Response Guide. That's a great resource that Sandy has mentioned a couple of times. Preparing businesses, that's similar, but not quite the same. Talk to me a little bit about business prep.
So this is one of the areas that I'm not as familiar with, but it is important, just like for our family units, that the businesses mm-hmm. are prepared. So they understand what their plan is.
Well, they want to stay in business.
So they want to stay in business, yeah. But also, it's like, I moved here from Texas, and one of the beloved grocery stores down there, part of the reason it's so beloved is during different events like Hurricane Harvey, they were out in full force providing a service to give back to the community.
Oh, okay.
It was one, they were taking care of, their employees, and they were taking care of their community, which that had numerous payouts that weren't necessarily you could write on the
right,
ledger.
Yeah, right.
But it's one of the things to make sure that it's like, one, they stay in business, two, they are planning ahead to make sure that they're taking care of their employees, because that employee loyalty also speaks volumes of how that business affects. And I know I frequent places just because I know, hey, this person's been here for the 20 years that I've been in the DC area.
Right.
If they've been in this one business for that long,
right,
there must be something good going on.
Must be doing something right. Yeah. So again, FairfaxCounty.gov/emergency-management. You can just search for the business disaster resilience guide, and you'll find that resource there. Last couple of minutes we got left, let's talk about houses of worship. You kind of hit it on the high point. What's one main takeaway a house of worship listening right now should remember or think about during National Preparedness Month?
Do you have a way to communicate with your members or your congregants to communicate that? Because sometimes during these events, to make sure that if you're canceling services, that way let your congregants know that you're canceling services, or if you have a resource, hey, if your home is damaged, we're opening up our activity center for our members,
right.
Or any other services that they provide, place for meals. If something bad were to happen, I know that where I attend, they're talking about trying to make sure that we prepared in case for an active shooter.
Oh, okay.
So I know it's one of the things we don't want to talk about,
right,
but
right.
But know who, if we have any law enforcement that attend the church, know who they are. So it's like, all right, I'm going to look at Jason.
Right.
Jason for clues.
Gotcha.
And, but no, it's like, okay, so these are the areas we need to make sure we reinforce, make sure we keep the children safe, and have a plan for reunifying the children with their parents in a situation like that, or where a shelter is for tornadoes. I know sometimes people don't think about that until they hear their cell phone going off saying tornado warning. They're like, oh, should we go down?
Where do I go? Here? Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're right next to a window.
Right. Well, the active shooter thing is a good point to remember, not only for houses of worship, but really for anybody. Last minute or so we've got left, I want to make sure the last week of the month we cover preparing individuals with disabilities as well as access and functional needs. One key takeaway for that week?
One key takeaway for that week is make sure that if you have like a service animal, that you're making sure that you're packing food for that service animal. If you need special medical equipment, whether it's an oxygen tank, insulin, something along those lines, make sure that you have supplies of those. If it's insulin, make sure that you have a couple of ice packs already stored in the freezer. Mm. That way, if you need to move back from there, they're already frozen and you don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
Or any other special needs or special accommodations that are needed with that. Make sure that those are identified and for that. So each one is unique in and of itself. So it's hard to kind of put a big bow on it, but make sure that it's like they take an account for those special needs.
Well, if you've got a special needs person in your family, or there's access and functional needs, or someone with a disability in your family, going back to the theme of this month, just start that conversation. Talk about, hey, okay, so the power goes out. What might we have to do, and what would you need to have to be able to survive this situation? So getting that conversation started, I think, is a great idea. Last 30 seconds, final thought you want folks to go away from this knowing about the Department of Emergency Management and Security or National Preparedness Month?
Like we said, we just want everyone to start that conversation, start to think about it, take some action upon that conversation, and just make sure that you are keeping yourself, your family, and your immediate area prepared as best as possible.
Cool. Sandy, thanks for being on the podcast. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks to Sandy for being here. Thanks to you for joining us on this edition of the County Conversation Podcast. If you want to hear more conversations with Fairfax County's finest, be sure to follow us on soundcloud.com/Fairfax County, or you can go to our podcast webpage, fairfaxcounty.gov/podcast. County Conversation is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.